And now, the man with the plan, the host with the most, the rebel with a cause, the only commentator in the history of cyber radio to actually kill a liberal just by sneering at him. Gator Doug. There's a place up
ahead and I'm going. Good afternoon, or should I say good evening? Good Monday evening, June 28th, 2010. You are listening to If You Are Left, You Just Ain't Right. I'm Doug Hagan, co-owner of the Daily Gator blog with Edward Daly, who you just heard introduce me. I appreciate that, Ed. No one does it like Ed Daly. And you know what else, folks? You will not get better opinion, better analysis, better thought, and better input on the social issues of today and political issues of today, I should say, than from all the shows here on Chimpsies Radio. Check out our Facebook page. Check out the other shows. Check out my blog, The Daily Gator, at WordPress.com. Check out all the fine work going on here at Chimpsies Radio. Tell all your friends about it. This is going to be good stuff, and it's just going to get better. Now, as to the content of tonight's show, I've been back and forth the last few days about what to talk about. There's certainly a lot of kind of topical issues going on right now that could be addressed. And, well, there's something I wanted to talk about, and I probably will at some future point, and that's the fact that the left still hates your guns. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people on the right who think that the issue of gun control, that battle that waged for decades between the two sides, left and right, is over and it was won by the right. I'm here to tell you, and again on a future show I'll get into this in more depth, that only the rhetoric of the left has changed. They still want to take your guns away. They still want to trash and destroy the Second Amendment along with the rest of the Constitution. And I'll get into why they hate guns and the right to keep and bear arms more than any other liberty that Americans enjoy. And I'll give you a hint. It's all about control, as it always is with the left. But there's a lot of really interesting topics going on right now. And the first one I want to address is the Al Gore and the masseuse in Portland, Oregon. And apparently this masseuse is accusing Al Gore of attacking her in 2006, some type of sexual assault charge. I'm not sure how the charges would be worded in Oregon. But to accuse someone of sexual assault is a very, very serious charge. And I know that I loathe Al Gore about as much as any leftist out there. I think he is a con artist. I think he's a snake oil salesman. I think he is a vile human being in many ways that would gladly see our liberties trashed and subjugated to international law and the insane green agenda. Green being the new red, of course. Somebody put it well when they said climate change is like a watermelon. It's green on the outside, red on the inside. Green is the new red, and Al Gore is certainly one of the leaders there. And we know Al Gore does it for financial gain. And that certainly doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it any better. In fact, it makes it a little more despicable to me. As much as I despise Al Gore, and as much as I think his followers are absolute fruitcakes who are too stupid to actually look at Al Gore and see that he's a phony, all the things he's demanding us do to save the earth, he doesn't even do. But of course, he's got this asinine carbon credit, carbon offset Ponzi scheme going. You know what carbon offsets are, my friends? You know what carbon credits? You know how it works? It's the idea that you live as you choose. You use all type of energy. You have a carbon footprint that would make Sasquatch blush. And to offset it, to make you feel better and to wipe out the damage you've done, I guess, you pay a lot of money for carbon credits. Now, I've always been confused about one thing. If these actions, burning fossil fuels, flying, things like that, if they're destroying the earth and going to kill us all very shortly, apparently, according to Al Gore, going to kill the polar bears and bears and the walruses and all of those things, then how is money going to fix it? How is a person buying carbon credits, making Al Gore richer, how's that going to save the earth again? How's that work? I'm curious. I really am. Now, again, as much as I hate Al Gore, as much as I hate his phony carbon offsets, and again, the example I always use is it's like having a spousal abuse credit. You know, the cops come out to Ed's house, and they say, Ed, your neighbor's called, said you were smacking your wife around. He goes, yeah, I'm smacking her around, but you know what? I pay Larry $500 a week not to smack his wife around. It's called a wife-beating offset, so we're cool. You see, we're all square. I've paid my debt. That's how it works, huh? That's about how carbon credits work. But I'm not going to jump on Al Gore and say he's a rapist or anything else. You know what? The man's innocent until proven guilty. I don't know what he did. I'm always suspicious when someone comes 4 years later and this attack allegedly took place in 2006. If it happened 4 years ago and we're just hearing about it now from this person, I would question why. And I'll give Al Gore the benefit of a doubt, even though I don't like the guy. And I would urge everyone else not to let your personal feelings about Al Gore not to lead you to judge him prematurely. That wouldn't be right, my friends, for us to do. And that's all I've got on Al Gore. But there's another big story right now, and it's been a big story for over 2 months now. BP, oil spill, the Gulf trashed, environmental and ecological disaster, catastrophe, tragedy. We've got my old hometown, Tampa Bay, Tampa, Florida. Now they're going to get hit with this stuff. And, you know, I understand, again, people want to blame Obama. Obama didn't cause this spill, and it's not his fault that it happened. But the criticism of Barack Obama is very clear, and it should be very well presented. His leadership in this is what has been terrible. Again, people who expected George W. Bush to stop a hurricane or to make people evacuate New Orleans before Katrina when they had plenty of advance notice and didn't leave was asinine. It's equally asinine to say Obama caused this or this is all Obama's fault. But it's equally, maybe even more idiotic to blame the fact that there wasn't enough government regulation. There was all types of government regulation. And if you want to point a finger, you can point it at Obama's leadership after the event. The lethargy that his team had to really react. The fact that he's spinning. Actually, his energy secretary, Ken Salazar, is spinning the information that seven scientists have issued to make it look the way they want it to look. To try to sell things like this moratorium, 6-month moratorium on offshore oil drilling, which is completely the wrong response. That has been shot down by a judge. And the judge issued his ruling, very interesting. Basically, the judge looked into it and said, hey, there's a lot of lying going on here. This is agenda-driven. And it's under appeal right now. Team Obama will appeal it. But they struck down, this judge struck down Obama's moratorium, and that ruling was upheld. Team Obama wanted the moratorium to continue until the appeal process went through, and that's not going to happen. So that's a victory for common sense. But look at Obama's lack of leadership. That should be the focus, and the focus is when 28 nations offer you help and you refuse 23 of those nations help, when you refuse the Dutch offer of booms, when you shut down 16 oil-sucking barges that are doing a very effective job off the coast of Louisiana because we have to inspect them to see if there's enough life preservers and fire extinguishers on board. Complete and utter government incompetence. And even if Obama didn't directly say, stop those oil-sucking barges, we've got to inspect them, he's the man in charge. Apparently the Coast Guard did. Well, who's commander-in-chief? And isn't the Coast Guard part of our military? That would be Barack Obama. He hasn't had his nose to the grindstone. He hasn't been there. He hasn't been connected. Hasn't been enmeshed in the process of getting ahead of this problem. Again, he's finger-pointing early in this deal when the oil's still gushing out. Now, oil's gushing out again. The thing was capped. It's busted off. There's no leadership here. That's the problem. No one's blaming Barack Obama for the actual spill. We're blaming him for his reaction or his lack of effective reaction. And his complete lack of leadership skills is stunning, quite frankly. Absolutely stunning that anyone could be this incompetent and this out of touch and not possess any effective leadership skills. That's what really gets me. Liberals are always crowing about being more like the rest of the world, and we're one big community and one world and international community and international law. So why do you reject the help of 23 nations out of 28 that offer? Why was equipment in warehouses in Maine not used to help clean up the oil? Why wasn't the response quicker? Why weren't they ahead of the curve a little bit? Instead, they've been behind the eight ball the whole time. And it doesn't seem to be getting any better. And again, the people paying the price, the animals paying the price, the ecology, the environment's paying the price for their incompetence. And the biggest thing on Barack Obama's mind, apparently, is trying to use this, trying to pull a Rahm Emanuel and not let a good crisis go to waste, and trying to get his cap and trade and green agenda furthered instead of fixing the damn problem. It's a lack of leadership, as I said, but it's also little dollar signs in Barack Obama's eyes, I think. Not that this is big money for him necessarily, but dollar signs as in, bingo, here's an opportunity. Here's a chance to use this, to pimp this ecological tragedy, to get changes that I think we need in our energy policies in this country. Again, that's why he jumped on the chance to issue that six-month moratorium on offshore drilling. And let's not let the environmental radicals off the hook either, because this has been raised by many people at this point. Why do you have to go 5,000 feet deep, 5,000 foot water, way offshore, can't drill on land like in Anwar in Alaska, can't drill closer to shore, you got to go so far out where there any incident that happens is going to be infinitely harder to fix and to stop. So in the name of saving the environment, the environmental nitwits, environmental radicals have actually, well, they've caused the environment to be horrendously damaged now. Unintended consequences. So many things the left does and the left shoots for lead to unintended consequences. This is scary, my friends. It truly is, because you've got this mindset from the environmental radicals that any time anyone makes a profit, you know, it's bad. If 10 billion acres of forest burns in a western area of the United States, they're fine with it. They don't care. But let a lumber company go in and try to salvage some of the burned wood. Well, that can't have that. Why? Because someone's making a profit. The driving force behind environmentalism, I just said this about Al Gore, and the environmental agenda and climate change. Green's the new red. It's a watermelon. It's green on the outside. It's red as hell on the inside. But unlike a watermelon, which is one of the finest foods you'll ever eat, communism kills. If you could dig up the 110 million people it killed in the 20th century, they would agree with me. Communism is an evil scourge. And unfortunately, too much of Barack Obama's agenda is too closely tied to communism. And this, again, trying to pimp this tragedy, the BP oil spill, shows how closely many of his ideals and the ideals of the people around him are tied to those of Karl Marx. Again, apologies to the Michael Medveds of the world who don't want us to say those kind of things. Don't call Obama a Marxist. Don't call him a socialist. Don't call him a communist. People will make fun of you. People will say you're wacko. Well, you know what? Those people call me wacko anyway, Michael. They call you wacko too. Tell me the last time a liberal said anything good about a conservative, unless the conservative was on their knees kissing the ass of the liberal in question. Now, don't get excited, Barney Frank, if you're listening, okay? That's what I'm talking about, people. Liberals will say what they want to about us. They'll embrace John McCain when he's running in the GOP primaries to try to get the Republican nomination. They'll love him then. Oh, but as soon as he gets Republican nod, what happens to John McCain? He wasn't a maverick anymore. He was an evil right-winger. He was a racist, and he was this. He was turned on him faster than a pack of rabid, hungry wolves on a lamb. Democrats are not our friends. They are our political enemies. Doesn't mean you can't be friends with liberals. It means accept the fact that they go to work every day trying to beat us. We damn sure ought to go to work every day as conservatives in whatever capacity we hold, be it senator, congressman, governor, blogger, columnist, author, whatever. And we ought to go to work every day with an intent to beat them. That's the goal of conservatism, is to prove liberalism wrong and to defeat it and crush it into dust. If you don't think that's a positive agenda for us, consider. The agenda of the left is to crush conservatism into dust, crush libertarianism into dust, and obliterate them from existence. And that brings me to another topic, excuse me, that caught my eye this week. I blogged about it. Pretty interesting. There's a picture, of a very famous picture, of the late Winston Churchill. Now, this shows him in a military uniform, British military uniform, with his hat on, and he's flashing the two-finger victory sign. And he's got in his right hand these two fingers, the victory sign, and in his mouth is a cigar. Very, very famous picture. Well, interesting. How do you say this? How would I say this? It's Stalin-esque. Stalin was famous for having people go back and taking certain people out of photos, taking certain items out of photos. And there was the fact, I can't remember the name, but there was Stalin and some other Soviet leaders had a picture made together. And when one of them fell out of favor and was removed, later, the picture showed only three men, but the shoes of the fourth man were missed. They were still there. So you see these three men together as if there was had never been the fourth man, but the shoes were still there. And this comes from the Daily Mail online. A little article I found. It says, spot the difference. How today's airbrushing PC censors decided Churchill could do without his cigar. That's right. Take the cigar out because tobacco is evil. Evil, my friends. Now, this place in England is called the Winston Churchill's Britain at War Experience. It's located in southeast London. And If you go to my blog and look at the story, you see the pictures side by side. And it's the same picture. One is a little lighter than the other, but it shows something very, very eerie, very, again, Stalin-esque. We know about the war on tobacco. And look, I don't smoke. I think smoking is a nasty habit. It's not as nasty as dipping, chewing tobacco. That's completely disgusting. But again, this isn't about my opinion. This isn't about whether I smoke or not. This is about a group of people, again on the left, that have every intent of controlling everything you do in your life. Everything. And smoking's one of those things. Now, government, the U.S. government, has used smoking as a cash cow. It's interesting, if you listen to the government rhetoric when all these attorney generals were suing the evil tobacco industry for selling their legal product to legal adults, they would say things like, tobacco is more addictive than cocaine. Well, I don't know if it's more addictive than cocaine or not. But I know this, I'd rather a friend of mine or a loved one smoke cigarettes than snort cocaine. They'll end up quicker, deader, quicker, a lot quicker on cocaine than they will smoking cigarettes. Not that I think cigarette smoking is healthy. But it's this idea that it's so bad, so addictive, that it's victimizing people. Yet our government didn't seek to make it illegal. Instead, what did our government do? Our government sought to make as much tax revenue off it as it could. It's like the government saying, look, you poor bastard, you've been addicted by these evil tobacco people. This evil tobacco has got its hooks in you, and you can't help but smoke. So you know what we're going to do? Are we going to help you? Are we going to ban it? Which I would disagree with completely, by the way. But are we going to ban it? Are we going to be consistent and say this is worse than cocaine, so we're going to ban it because cocaine's banned, obviously? No, we're not. We're gonna try to sip every damn last dime out of your sorry ass before you croak from the tobacco that's killing you. That's your compassionate, liberal tax policy, isn't it? Oh, you're addicted to tobacco, huh? I see dollar signs. I see revenue. I see all kind of money we can sap out of these people. That's despicable. And it's completely inconsistent. Again, the talk of liberals, the talk they talk, does never seems to match the walk they walk, does it? And that, my friends, brings me to the last item I want to address tonight. And I'm sure the name Chris Dodd, Senator, Connecticut, Democratic Senator from Connecticut, longtime senator, I'm sure that name rings a bell. And the reason I want to talk about Christopher Dodd is I actually did a podcast on this subject on my blog Friday, I believe. You see, there's a bill that is very likely to become law, and it's addressing new finance rules in the United States. And I want to read you a little bit from the Wall Street Journal, who had some excellent coverage of this. After months of uncertainty about how the U.S. would craft new rules, the agreement offers the clearest picture since the financial crisis of how markets and the government will interact for decades to come. The common thread? Large financial companies are facing a tougher leash. That means more regulation. That means less profits for corporations, more government greed, more government control, less profits. And that always leads to what? Well, that leads to the little guy, the working man, who Democrats are always fighting for, right? Always fighting for the working man. That means they get screwed harder and harder and harder. Now, this bill is expected to become law. And I'd like to tell you exactly what's in the bill, but here's the kicker. Flashback to Nancy Pelosi. What did Nancy Pelosi say about the health care bill? Oh, that's right. She said we had to pass it to find out what the hell was in it. Well, guess what? Listen to Christopher Dodd and remember Nancy Pelosi. Imagine Nancy Pelosi and Christopher Dodd. Imagine Chris Dodd overdosing on Botox with a really bad haircut. It'd be Nancy Pelosi, right? This is what Dodd said. This is about as important as it gets. Because, listen very carefully, my friends, because it deals with every single aspect of our lives. Every single aspect of our lives. This isn't a right-winger telling you that. This isn't some conservative telling you that. This isn't Rush Limbaugh telling you that. That's an ultra-liberal Democrat, Chris Dodd, telling you that. Now, think. Conservatives have been predicting this type of things for years and years and years, and the left is always, "Oh, please, you're radical, you're extreme, you're over the top, you're crazy." Really? Well, I guess we're not crazy because now we've got Democrats admitting to what they're doing. Admitting that this is about controlling every single aspect of our lives. Everyone, you, me, your children, your grandchildren, everybody. And this isn't, of course, the only thing. Think of Obamacare. What's Obamacare going to do? Obamacare, new financial rules, maybe cap and trade, the green agenda. All these things share something in common. Two things, actually. One, they're from the decidedly left side of the political aisle. But the end game's the same. Control over you. Control over everyone. Control over me. Control over everyone. But Chris Dodd had more to say. And these words will chill you. And if they don't, you should be ashamed of yourself. Chris Dodd said, "It's a great moment. I'm proud to have been here." He actually was teary-eyed as he said this. I guess the power grab is just too much for him. "No one," he said, "no one will know until this is actually in place how it works." Now, is he saying no one is in, he doesn't even know how it will work? If he is, ask yourself why the hell he supports it. How can you support something that you don't know what it does? It's like someone giving you some green fluid in a beaker and saying, "Drink it." Well, what will it do to me? Will it make me give me super strength? Will it make me super sexy to women? Will it make me what? He goes, "We don't know yet. Just drink it and we'll find out." What type of maniac would it take to drink that? I guess Chris Dodd would. But you see, Chris Dodd, what do you want to bet he and people like him will be exempt from these rules? They'll still be fat cats. It's people like you and I that've got to pick up this beaker of Democratic bile and drink it down, and then we'll find out what happens to us. Our heads fall off. Well, boy, we really shouldn't have done that. It's too late, though, isn't it? But there's more. Again, I'm going to read this again. This is so important. "No one will know until this is actually in place how it works. But we believe, the light shining from heaven. We believe we've done something that has been needed for a long time. It took a crisis to bring us to the point where we could actually get this job done." Wow. It took a crisis. It's been a long time coming. They don't know what it is. They don't know what's in it. But it's needed. What do you mean it's needed? You don't even know what the hell's in it. You don't even understand what it'll do, but it's needed. This is the essence of leftism. Shut up, do what we tell you, there will be no consequences. And when the unintended consequences start coming, don't blame us. Drink some more of it. I don't care that you feel sick, drink more of it. I don't care your leg just fell off, drink more of it. You need more leftism and more leftism. We don't care that you're in poverty now. We don't care that the United States is degenerating into a third world country. Keep doing it. That's leftism. It is insanity. These people are literally insane. What's the definition of insanity? That old expression is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. This is insanity, my friends. Christopher Dodd is a lunatic. The rest of the Democrats that are going with him, the same who shoved Obamacare down our throat, they are lunatics. A lunatic fringe. Except this ain't a cool song by Red Ryder from the 80s. This is terrifying. This is your future. And you don't even know what's in this bill. It's likely, by the way, to be signed into law by July 4th. So your world will change, and, well, when those changes come, that's when you know what they are. Isn't that really cool of our open and transparent Obama administration, or the open, what did Nancy Pelosi promise, that the new Congress would be pristine and clear as the driven snow, and no rule violations. We're going to be open and honest with the people. Right. What's in your future? I don't know. Hell, the people passing the law don't even know. And if they do, they're not admitting to what they know. That should scare the hell out of you. And if, frankly, if you're still a Democrat and you're listening, let me ask you just one very simple question. Why are you still a Democrat? Seriously, look yourself in the mirror right now. Go look in the mirror and ask yourself why you're still a member of a party that stands up for things like this. If you claim to be a patriot and you're a Democrat, you need to slap yourself into reality. Seriously, right now, start slapping yourself until you get it that the Democratic Party is nothing but a neo-Marxist party now. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about founding principles. They don't care about liberty, fiscal responsibility. They don't care about unborn, that life. They don't care about anything except power, control, and shoving their agenda down our throats. My friends, I'm out of time. I went a little long, but these things need to be said. They need to be talked about. Again, check out Chimpsey's Radio. Check out all the shows. Check out Facebook. Check out my blog, TheDailyGator at WordPress.com. And my friends, thank you for listening. Thank you for your patronage. I do appreciate it. Because without you, there ain't no me, as I like to say. I do appreciate the opportunity. Goodbye. God bless. If you're left, you just ain't right. And go Gators. Good night, everybody.